Amen. Say hello to somebody this morning. As you take your seat, welcome somebody into church today. We're so thankful to have you here at Foundation Church with us today. And we want to begin just to all the mothers in the room, thank you. If you're sitting by a mother today or a person that's been a mother figure to you, just look at them and just say, thank you. Thank you. Amen. To Emily Rayburn, to Joy Rayburn, to Kim Sloan, to Dorothy Webb, to Linda Lou Rayburn, to Nanny Rogers, is how I know them. I kind of know their first name. I'm just kidding. I love them very much. Nanny Rogers, to Nanny Sloan, and Donette Bonner. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a mother figure in my life. And listen, from each and every single one of them, we all have a woman that's in our life, whether it's a mom as, or whether it's been a mother-like figure to you. Today, we get to celebrate them. And today we get to say thank you. And in each, we see the beauty of God's creation uniquely coming to life. Emily, I was telling her this morning, I said, just thank you for being like such a shepherd to our family, such like a tribal leader, if you will. She is in often ways the protector. And in other ways, she is just so like loving and kind. And I'm just so thankful for her. To my mom, who's taught me what it meant to be compassionate. And that's the reason I cry, is because of my mother. I don't know what she gave me, but we just cry. To Kim Sloan, who has taught me what it means to be completely and totally selfless. To Dorothy Webb, who has taught me what it means to be incredibly kind. To Linda Lou Rayburn, who has taught me what it means to be gracious. To Nanny Rogers, who has taught me what it means to be joyful. And to Nanny Sloan, who has taught me what it means to be honest. She's the nanny that's like, she'll just say something and she'll just be like, well, you know, you have those people in your life that's like, well, it's the truth. I'm thankful for her. And I'm thankful for Donette and the wisdom that she has taught me. Each and every single person that you can mention, you may have a list. It may be one, it could be 20 long, but we're thankful that in each one, I've been deeply, deeply loved. In each one, I've got to see the uniqueness of God's creation in each and every single woman that I just named. But all of them are pointing back to the qualities of the Creator. See, in the creation, I see who the Creator is. And listen, each and every single one of us have something that we see and recognize about these women. But we're trying to get to the place today, as we've been in this series called Gospel Foundations, where we're trying to get to the place of where, what do we believe about who God is? And we've learned that many of us have some unbelief. Many of us have things that we believe about God that may be based on circumstances, situations, or our past. And we've brought those things to the table that this is who God is. But we're learning today that that's not who He is. And so through our honesty, though, we can go to this place of repentance where we get to this place where, God, show me who You really are. This is what I believe about You. But God, I don't see it to be true. But Lord, help my unbelief. Change my thoughts. Change my thinking. To then what we're going to step into today, to what is true about You. So today we're going to be looking at a text today that's going to show us who God is. And the main idea I want to bring today, it plays right into Mother's Day, is that, I don't know about you, but it seems like moms are always there. If your son or daughter is crying, what is it that they cry for? Or who is it they cry for? Mommy. Never daddy. Never. Or it's like, whenever you have right now in your life a problem or something that has been maybe challenging to you, who is it that you call? More than likely, mom or that mother-like figure in your life. There's something about the beauty of a mother that really presents itself beautifully to who God is that oftentimes we see in fathers that isn't quite there. I'll tell you a little story. It just happened this past weekend. Literally, I'm having a moment with my youngest son, Avery. It was about 5 or 6 o'clock. He was getting hangry. Well, I found some bread. And I'm like, this will have to satisfy this young child who is throwing a fit. And I give him a piece of bread. And you know what he does? He throws it at me. I'm like, oh, son, you're about to learn today. That's the father, right? That's what the father said. And I look at him, and I said, I'm like really stern. I said, pick it up. That's literally my voice. It's like, pick it up. That's my eyes too. And he's like, he does this. I'm like, okay, okay. I said, son, pick it up. He didn't pick it up. And he even turned to like go to Emily. I said, no, no, no. Grab his arm. And you know what happened after that moment? I tell him, pick it up. He begins to like screaming, crying. And you could see him just like turn his voice and like begin to project almost like, I am crying, like I'm wailing. He's like, Mom, come and rescue me from this crazy man. That's what kids do, right? They yell for the mom. And moms are so gracious and kind because they come into situations like that. And oftentimes, whenever I bring a sternness, she brings, what's the issue? What's going on, honey? What are you crying about? There's a sweetness and a gentleness that is just so profound. When we think about God as Father, oftentimes what we think about is our own Father. But we need to see that God is the perfect encapsulation of what love is. And if we're honest, gentlemen, oftentimes we lack the very nature of the love of God. And you see it best displayed in the mothers. Compassion, gentleness, and kindness. And so today, there is something I want to bring to life, though, that I've noticed about moms, is that moms show up. And I believe that it is a foreshadowing. It is a picture to tell us and to show us just who God is and how He is the one who shows up for us. It is in His very nature to be there. And I hope that it is an encouragement to you. I want you to open up your Bibles if you got them. We're going to Titus chapter 3. So my goal today, once again, is to communicate to you who God is. And we're going to look at just a small section of Scripture that has become like the anchor verses for me and my family in a lot of ways, as a continual reminder in moments of disbelief and distrust and disobedience. We come back to this text as like a grounding, as a foundation. And I hope that it will be that for you today. It says in verse 3, Titus chapter 3, verse 3, it says this, For we ourselves, Paul is communicating this letter to Titus, and he is saying, Titus, listen, I need you to remember that we ourselves, and that you need to tell the local church there and all of the people there that we ourselves were what? We were once foolish. We were once disobedient. We were once led astray. We were once slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. He is saying, this is who we were. This is who we were. Titus, this is who I was. Some of you, as you read through that year list, you're like, oh my gosh, that is like legitimately who I was. To many of us, yes. There may be one thing that speaks out to you a little bit more than the other, but Paul is telling Titus, you must remember. And today, as we begin this message, you must remember where you once were. You must remember who you once were. That could have been last month. That could have been years ago. You must remember who you once were. Why? Why must we remember where we once were and who we once were? The immediate reaction as you read through this text is you may have an overwhelming sense of guilt and shame. Anybody feel that? Guilt and shame for your past, for the mistakes that you have made, for all of the wrongs, for all of the things that you wish you didn't do that you should have done. But guilt and shame isn't the reason for this remembering and this reminding. Here is the reason for this remembering and this reminding. It says that, but when, in verse 4, but when, you see, God is the one who shows up not out of our mess, but in our mess. God is the one that shows up not after you're crystal clear and all white and clean, but while you are in the pigsty. That is when God showed up in your life. Not before you had everything right and before you were perfect, but while you were in your mess, that's when God showed up. And he says this, but when, But when, in that moment, that in that moment God appeared, you can see this, what did he do? But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, it appeared. This goodness, what is this goodness? This is that in our most desperate place of need, God's goodness came in to meet it. That through God's loving kindness, what is that? Through his philanthropy, through his love of all mankind, it showed up. Once again, when? When? In that moment, in that place of disobedience and disarray, it is when it showed up. And there's this word here that kept coming to me, that kept popping out all week, is that, but when the goodness of God, our Savior, appeared, it did appear. It appeared. It made itself visible. It came to light. That there was a moment when you were somebody, and then there was a moment when you were somebody new. And what was in between was the appearance of the goodness and loving kindness of God. It came to be. It was almost, this word is connected to an epiphany. Anybody know what an epiphany is? It's like a light bulb going off, right? A light bulb. We have these moments all of the time. There's one that's really silly, but it's kind of profound. You know, you can make some toast in a toaster and then just take a stick of butter and unwrap it and just rub it on. And that's how you can get butter on toast. You got to time it right or else it doesn't work. Light bulb. Never know, right? That's a small one. It's a small one. There may be some more, though, that you're thinking of right now. I can remember that me and Emily were talking about, when is it that we can study God's word? Like, when is it? We got a crazy schedule. We got all sorts of things that are required of us. And we had a moment where we're like, in the morning. And it was just like, light bulb. There's no other time. This is the time. And so we just began to commit to it. But then maybe there's like God-sized moments that have happened in your life, where God has either brought you people, or God has changed your circumstances, or God has revealed some truth to you that has been like a light bulb moment for you to see God more clearly for who he is. There was a moment just probably about a year and a half ago, me and Rob Schoaf were sitting down, and he said, you know what, everything boils down to this one question, who is God? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I heard this. And then it was like a few weeks later, I was reading a book by A.W. Tozer. And he said, the most important thing about you is what you believe to be true about who God is. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a light bulb moment. This is like a moment that has brought like so much transformation and freedom, because I've seen that so much of what I've been struggling with has been connected to who God is. Listen, this is what happened to you. It appeared. It's like the lights went on. It's like you seen clearly for the very first time. It was like grace you understood, mercy you experienced. And it's just like, how did it happen? It appeared. Now, that's very important because it points us to verse 5. It says that when the goodness and kindness of God our Savior appeared into your life, he saved us. Notice the word he. You know what's not there? You. You didn't save us. You didn't save yourself. And he says this, that he saved us. You see, he is the God who shows up and saves us from our mess, not us. In verse 5, it says that he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. You are not saved today. You are not experiencing the love and kindness of God today and the goodness in your life because of anything that you have done. It's not because of your resume. Your resume is nothing in the eyes of what God has already done for you. This is the freedom that comes when you get to know this, because it's like everybody here in the backwoods of Eastern Kentucky has had to earn their salvation for years and years and years. Am I right? Yeah. How many of you today remember when you felt like you weren't good enough? Yeah. How many times did you find yourself at the altar because you kept messing up or you kept screwing up and you thought, God's just turned his back on me again? And you've had this aspect of grace that you just can't comprehend because grace doesn't make sense even to you. Because you think that you are right with God based on what you do. But everything that we see here is telling us that we are right with God based on what he has done. You understand? This is what he's saying he is. He is the one that initiates. He is the one that has appeared. He is the one that has showed up. And here's what it has done for you. It has saved you. According to what? Not your works, but according to his own mercy. This word, I've just continued to have this light bulbs going on. This mercy is not getting what you deserve. Not getting what you deserve. You see, out of all of our foolishness and everything that's mentioned in verse 3, it's like, man, we deserve death. We deserve righteous punishment from a God that should have just like almost kicked us out. That should have just discarded us because of who we were and how we lived. But you see, he doesn't do that. He's a merciful God. And not only is he merciful, giving you mercy, but he also says that those that will come to me, listen, I will regenerate you. I will renew you. You see, everything in verse 3 says who you once were, but the loving kindness of God appears in your life, and he doesn't leave you in the state of which you were. He says that the Holy Spirit comes and it will renew you, regenerate you. You ever heard that song? It's like the old coat and the new. It's an old Ralph Stanley song. And it's like this aspect of our life that he's presenting. He says you can walk in a new way. You can walk in a new way of life. It's beautiful to see God doing this. Out of what? His compassion. Out of his compassion. God is the one that shows up in our situation and leads us to life. Leads us into life, like a renewal of our heart and soul and our spirit. It's a beautiful thing. But we see that the Spirit has been given, it says there, through the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he what? Verse 6. God keeps on getting good. It keeps on getting gooder, right? He says this, whom he poured out. He poured out on us how? Richly through Jesus Christ. Listen, some of you all think you've just received a drop of God's mercy, a drop. And you're walking around carrying a lot of guilt and shame because you feel like he's only done a little bit for you. But this is saying that God has richly, that he has poured it out on you richly. The mercy has been like overcome by you. Imagine today if I brought Matt up here and I had a jug full of water and he got to be under it as I poured it out on him. How would he leave this place? Wet is the right answer. Soaked, we would say in Kentucky, to the bone. That's how it would be. Soaked. That's what he's saying. He says, no, my mercy isn't just a little bit. My mercy just isn't partial coverings. My mercy comes and it overflows you. It washes you. It cleanses you. And it's not just me pouring out just a little bit at a time. It says, no, you get everything of me. You get all of it. It is a richness of God that we see, not withholding, not keeping, but actually giving. And we see this played out no greater way than as this verse finishes. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. There is no greater challenge for a mother than to give your son or daughter to the world. There is no greater challenge. Whenever Asher turns 18, me and Emily are going to have two very, very different emotions. Emily is going to say to Asher, you don't have to go. Just stay here as long as you want. If you ever still feel like scared at night, just come back to bed and we'll make sure that you're safe and sound. Like she's just gonna love him, but she wants to keep him because in her house, it's like a sense of protection. But then fathers, you know, it's like, son, welcome to 18 years old. We'll see you soon. Good luck in the world. We're here for you. Have fun. Make some mistakes. Enjoy the adventure. And Emily's going to be like, what are you saying to this? What are you saying to my boy? I'm trying to pull it. There's no greater love, than a mother's love in so many ways. But there's no greater challenge for a mother than to give her son to the world. And you see the beauty of what God is saying here. So this is how richly and abundantly This is how strong my goodness is towards you and my loving kindness is, because I'm willing to give you one of the most precious things to me, my son. And I'm willing to give him in such a way to where you're not just going to get his teachings, you're not just going to get his miracles, but you're going to get his life as a sacrifice for your sins. For all that was mentioned in verse 3, for all of your wrongs, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to give it to you in such a way that like many of you won't even believe in him. But I'm still going to pour him out. I'm still going to give you his blood and his body. There's nothing greater of a sacrifice. There's nothing greater that God could have given us than his son. And there's a moment where you can see that the crucifixion scene where Mary is standing at the foot of the cross. It's one that we don't highlight very often throughout the church, but all the moms in the room, imagine looking upon your son hanging on a cross, innocent, having done no wrong, becoming the perfect lamb, and having to look upon him and say, what have they done to you? Imagine the heartbreak. But then there's some words that comes from Jesus to Mary as a form of comfort to her. She knows who he is. She knows what he was called to do. But there's nothing greater. There's no greater challenge than to give up your son. But God does it. He gives it. And he gives it in such a way so that being justified, we now can be right standing with God. We can now have a relationship with the creator of the universe through the son, that we are now standing justified by what? His, notice again, his, not yours. His grace. He is giving us what we don't deserve. Freedom, second chances, life. Like he is giving us this grace, but it goes way beyond that. Those are some of the things we want so that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jesus here, or Paul is saying, remind them of who they once were. Remind them of the goodness and loving kindness of God. Look, remind them of the mercy. Remind them of the renewal and the washing. Remind them of how richly I have poured out my son for them. And remind them of the grace that has allowed them to become heirs. This is the wildest part of probably all of these verses, because you start in verse 3 in poverty, but you end in verse 7 being named a son of God or a child of God, a daughter of God. You see, we get elevated from a place of disarray and suffering and pain and bondage to a place of sonship. Think about that, where he calls you a child. This is the beauty of the gospel coming to life. You see, he raises us up to the highest honor. And God is the one who shows up and elevates us to his house. And here's what I want you to know. Listen, it all appeared. It all appeared. You see, God does not only act. His very nature is to show up. God, he is not hidden like many of you may be believing right now. God is not passive as many of you may be believing right now. God is not distant, but he is the one, as we have seen through this passage, who makes himself known, who breaks through, who moves first, who has clothed, who all these things have been clothed in the work of Jesus Christ. And in that, we get to encounter it. And in that, we get to experience it. And what are we really experiencing? The character of God. I want you to see here throughout this passage, there's been one question. I mean, you can keep asking it over and over. What does this word tell us about who God is? Or you ask simply, who is God? And what I wanted to show you here today is that God is the God that shows up. But he's way more than that. He is, if you want to go through them again, he is good. He is loving. He is kind. He is Savior. He is merciful. He is abundant. He is gracious. He is the hope. He is eternal. He is Father. And listen, that's just in 5 verses. Come on. Praise God for who he is, church, for who he's been in your life. Give him some praise today. That's what it says that he is. Now, when did you experience it? When did you encounter it? When did you come to know? When did the goodness and loving kindness of God appear in your life? Do you remember the day? Do you, maybe today you're still saying, though, I'm still waiting. Or I haven't experienced it. Today you may be still be questioning, I don't believe that God shows up because he hasn't showed up yet. He hasn't showed up now. You see, that's our problem. Oftentimes we're saying, God, I need you to show up. And when do we want him to show up? Now. Today. Or actually, we would say yesterday. That's what we would say. But I wanted to just meet you there for a second. Why would somebody ever believe this? Because oftentimes we get to the place where we just say, because he didn't or he hasn't. But I want you to look at this verse 4. It says, but when? But when? But when? All right? When? I was talking to Matt Jackson this morning, and he was sharing again of his testimony, of his when. Matt found himself completely in a state of overdosing and had 6 cans of Narcan used on him and found himself in an ambulance coming back to life, saying to himself, why can't you all just let me die? Because I promise you that would be better for me and for everybody else. But the man in the ambulance truck said, listen, buddy, God's got a plan for you. God's got a work for you. God has something in store for you. And it was in that moment he found when. When the goodness and loving kindness of God appeared, it saved him. It saved him. And listen, your story may not be like that story, but there was a moment where God has come into your life where you think about who you once were to who you are now. And there was a moment when. It's like when. But then there's also right now on the other side of salvation where you're still just saying, God, when are you going to show up? When are you going to show up? And I can remember, Rob, there was a moment that you've been waiting on a text message, been waiting on a communication, you've been waiting on God to show up. And then what'd you get? You got win. You got a win, right? And then like this summer and what that's going to mean. Like each service, I can keep going around the room if you want me to. You have a moment like right now where God is saying, I know when. I know when. It's a promise of who he is. Look back at the Bickets who, Ellie, firstborn, kept asking, God, when are you going to give us a child? God, when are you going to give us a child? We've been praying for this, praying for this. How old are they now? How old is she now? 3. When? When? See, the promise of God is that when will come. Because that is who he is. But we have a real struggle at times. And it's an honest struggle because it's like, God, I need you. He says, I know. But remember what my word says. But when? I always show up. I always come through. I'm the God that in all of Scripture that continues to break through and make himself known. And so here's what we have to do today. As we look at God's word, this is who God is. But we have to lean into our struggle when. We must do a few things that are going to be the hardest thing that you could ever do. You must be patient. You must say, God, I trust you. And when you say, I trust you, you're saying, God, I trust that you are a God that shows up. And God, it's not in my timing, but God, it is in your timing. And that's how you know I trust you. That God, so I'm going to wait on that when. But I'm going to believe that that day will come because that is who you are. Listen, God tells us who he is. Today, I wanted to share with you that God is a God that shows up. How do I know that? I'm going to take a little sidebar here for just a moment. You want to come to know who God is. Everything that we have done today has been through his word. I've read you 5 verses today, and oh, the richness of these 5 verses. If you are wrestling, if you are in moments of disbelief, like go to God's word and you will see who he is. And then after you have opened up God's word, or when you open up God's word, say, God, I am wrestling and I'm struggling, and just begin to cry out to him, God, just show me who you are. And here's what I promise he's going to do. He's going to bring you a friend. He's going to bring a word of encouragement. He's going to bring the right podcast or the right video or the right book at the very right time that's going to say, like, I told you who I am. I told you, this is who I am. Trust me. Believe in me. Put your faith in me. And I promise you, you're going to see God show up in your life. I want to invite our worship team to come back up and have a time of response here. And there's two things we do every single time at the end of the service. We have a time of response. You see, this isn't a moment to reflect on what God's word says. This is a moment to respond to what God's word says. Some of you right now, listen, you are struggling with unbelief. Like all, I mean, every single person in the room has something, but today it's maybe been a real call to say, God, I just don't know if you're there. And God, I just don't know if you're going to show up because you just haven't yet. Or you haven't in the past, or you didn't in this situation. But I wanted to bring to life God's word. And I wanted you to remind you that he is a God that appears. He is a God that will show up. But I need you to know it's when in his timing. So keep looking for him too. And he will, because that is who he is. Give our timing and our outcomes to him. And listen, I believe that God will show up. Now, Caleb, we're going to do things a little bit different for this service, okay? We're going to go to the bridge. I want to invite you just to stand with us this morning. The bridge is powerful. I got to have this connection as we were praying for this service and praying for you, is that there's the same words, but even when all the things in my life are going against me, but even when I'm ready to quit, but even when the doubts seem loudest, what's the thing that we say? You're working. You're working. You're working. Listen, I believe God's showing up for somebody today. I believe that God is like revealing and appearing himself to someone today. You can respond to him right where you are. Say, God, thank you. You say, yes, I need you. God, I need the salvation. God, I need the forgiveness. God, I need the renewal. God, I need the regeneration. God, I don't want just a little bit of your grace. I want all of your grace. I want all of your mercy. And listen, today, just respond to him and say, give it to me, Lord. Yes. Yes. Now, we call this, you know, coming to a place of faith, coming to a place of surrender, coming to a place of belief. And listen, you can cry out to him right where you are, or you can come forward and just kneel right down at the stage and say, God, I need you today. But I want everybody in the room to sing these verses with us. We're singing this bridge as a proclamation to our doubts for who he is.
Even when I don't feel that you're working.
You've been there, right?
You never stop.
Look at that. Never stop.
Never stop.
You never stop. Some of you need that today.
Even
you never stop.
See it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Okay, just go ahead and drop
stop.
The lights.
Never stop.
I want to invite you
never stop.
To respond
never
today
stop.
To what God has spoken. You can begin to pray and proclaim it today. You can come forward today and give it to him.
I don't feel it, you're working.
Just keep it going, Caleb. Keep it going. Make this your cry. Make this your reminder.
Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Never stop.
Never stop.
Never
stop working. Because even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Stop.
Proclaim the truth over your life. Proclaim the truth over your situation. He never stops.
And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't
come out of this, this proclamation that we go to who He is. We go to who He is.
Never stop working. Waymaker.
That's who He is.
Work, promise
in your life today, that
the darkness,
can be true.
My God,
in your life today, you can surrender to Him. You can begin to believe. You can begin to proclaim it.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keep. Hide in the
Amen.
Darkness,
Amen.
My God,
Amen.
That is who you are.
Amen. Caleb, one more time, give us everything you got. Let's proclaim it, church, with everything that we got, that this is who God is, that this is who we're proclaiming today. This is our foundation. This is the life. This is the person we are standing on today in our situation, in our doubt, in our unbelief. This is who God is. Raise your voice and praise Him.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. Oh, that is. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Amen. Huge shout of praise this morning.
I don't know about you. Anybody else feel like he just got dropped off a cliff? Yeah? Praise God.